go with me to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to begin in verse 22 in just a moment. As we look at the book of Matthew, we've been looking at Jesus, our sovereign King. And tonight we come across a preaching unit that I call Faith in the Face of Fear. I don't mind telling you, when this Afghanistan thing started, I began to watch the news again, and that was a great mistake. And I got frustrated and disappointed and angry, and I took my focus off of what I really need to be about. And we're in the flesh; that can happen to all of us. Because I had gotten to where I weaned myself from the news. I just use my Fox News app. At least I don't hear the talking heads making fools of themselves. And so I kind of lost my focus. But I got it back. The Lord, as I preach through books, expository preaching, God will give us exactly what we need. And in this passage tonight is what I needed. So if you don't need it, go ahead and go to sleep. I need it. So we're going to look at it tonight. It's the account of Jesus walking on the water. Now, remember the last passage we looked at in Matthew, we saw the feeding of the 5,000. We saw faith in the face of need. Tonight we're going to see faith in the face of fear. And we live in a nation where this virus and with pandemic and all that's going on in our nation and people trying to bring our nation down and little comments about the Texas abortion law, where they at least said that you can't kill a baby if it's got a heartbeat. Of course, our president believes that it's a baby when you hear a heartbeat, but God says it's a baby when you are conceived, right? And one of our leaders, I won't say her name, starts with a P, said that it's a bad day in America when we can't kill a baby. That's what she said. Look it up. So all that is really pressing on us, you know. And we can lose focus of what we're about here. Now, we learn from John's gospel that the disciples are ready to crown him after the feeding of the 5,000 from John's disciples. From the book of John, we learned that they were ready to crown him king. But Jesus knew it wasn't time, so he sends them away. Now, the story of Jesus walking on the water reveals a number of truths about his character, about his nature, his sustaining power. We know that he's over creation. He's over what he created. He's over demons. He's over disease. He's over death. You know, he can conquer anything. But there's also some lessons for us here on what that means for us, that he is in control, right? In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, let's just read the whole text. You can stay seated tonight. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. This is John's gospel said that was because they wanted to crown him king. To get into the ship and go before him unto the other side. Now, did y'all see that? Jesus told them to go to the other side, right? So if Jesus told them to go to the other side, they were going to go to the other side, right? And it says, while he sent the multitudes away, and when Jesus had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the middle or the midst of the sea. The best I can remember from historical study that it was about 6 miles wide, Gennesaret, and they were about halfway. All night long, they were only halfway, right? But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the Galilean Sea there, a storm can come up in a heartbeat, dip down from the mountains, and it was bad news. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went up unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, by the way, liberals tell us he didn't really walk on the sea, it was a sandbar he went out on. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the boat, out of the ship, he walked on the water, right? Isn't that what it says? He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He took his eyes off Jesus, right? That happens to us in this world, doesn't it? And he says, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He's not talking about spiritual salvation, talking about deliverance from the drowning, right? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou not doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And then they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You think they're about to get it, right? I mean, you know. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Now, again, I want to talk to you about faith in the face of fear. And Lord knows we got a lot to fear, don't we? I started to use the title Faith Over Fear. I see a lot of those signs around, you know, but that's the same concept. So what I want to do tonight is reveal to you five truths from this story that will help us in being fearful in the circumstances in which we find ourselves in and the trials that we find ourselves in. Number one, Jesus is sovereign over you. In verses 22 and 24, he is sovereign over our lives. He's sovereign over events. He's God's providence says that he arranges events and people, orchestrates history to accomplish his perfect will. Jesus sent the disciples off into a boat, Bible teachers say, between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. And Jesus came to them in the fourth watch, in verse 25. That was between 3 and 6 a.m. The disciples were in the boat by themselves in this contrary wind for at least 6 hours. And they were experienced fishermen, and they were afraid. This is not the first storm they've been through, right? But it was the first storm they've been through when Jesus was trying to teach them a lesson. Disciples were in the boat by themselves for at least 6 hours. And Jesus, all that time, was on the mountain praying. Now, what do you suppose he was praying about? What he was trying to teach the disciples? Faith, right? To depend upon him, right? And Jesus knew the windstorm was coming. He knew it. He controlled it for his own purposes. Again, this is one of those lab tests where God was putting them through the lab and trying to strengthen their faith. And they, like us, stubborn many times, we don't get the message. So while the disciples were fighting the wind, Jesus controlled both the disciples and the wind. Amen? He controlled them in the ship. They weren't about to drown. Common sense tells you that. Who's going to take the gospel to the whole world, right? And number two, he controlled the wind to teach them a lesson. When you tell lost people that God controls the weather, they look at you like you have done gone off your rocker, don't they? Huh? God, you know, man, well, don't, hey, this is a new General Ken. I ain't going to get on climate change, okay? But they think that the weatherman controls, the Weather Channel, right? And I got to where I don't even want to watch the Weather Channel. You watch the Weather Channel, it might be a Hurricane 1 coming in, and they're out there acting like it's a Hurricane 5, you know? And pack up the kids, the women, the nephews, everybody, let's get out of here, right? And so they were fighting the wind, but Jesus controlled both the disciples and the wind. So the point is the fact that Jesus is sovereign over our lives and he's sovereign over our trials. Y'all hear me? He's sovereign over trials. When trials and hardships, circumstances are adverse, come into our life, it is God is doing a work in our life trying to teach us to depend upon him, right? Now, some trials come because of correction. We're out of the will of God, okay? But a lot of times, the only way we're going to have our faith tested is go through a trial. And by the way, sometimes we make something a trial and it's not a trial, right? But God is in control of our lives, right? I have to be reminded that all along. Y'all are parents just like I am, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And the best thing we can do is pray, right? So we need to understand that, first of all. If we're going to have victory and face our fear with faith, we're going to have to understand that God is sovereign. He's over our lives. He controls all. If he didn't, we don't need to be here tonight. If God's not God, he's not in control, then what are we doing here, right? And then number two, Jesus is interceding for you in verses 22 through 24 again. Look at that again in our text. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him on the other side. And while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain to pray, apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. What made the waves tossing about? It was the wind, right? And he controls the wind, right? Jesus is interceding for you. While the disciples were being tossed about in the boat, Jesus was on his knees, I assume, praying for them in the boat, right? Just like now, he's at the right hand of the Father praying for you and I, right? He's interceding for us. And sometimes when we don't know what to pray, Romans 8, 26, I've gone there a lot recently, but things are happening in this world that I don't know how to pray. And he says that the Holy Spirit will intercede for us and what we don't know about the will of God. So we view our trials differently when we know that the Son of God is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you, right? He's always ready to give you grace and strength, mercy and provision as you need it. He's making intercession for us right now. That should affect us when we have a child in the hospital, when we're in the hospital, we have a loved one in the hospital, we have one diagnosed with COVID, we have this, we have that. We need to know that Jesus is praying for us, right? He's praying for us. He don't need to pray for himself. He did that in John 17. Now he's at the right hand of the Father, right? He will never leave us alone. He will never abandon us. What does the text say in Matthew 28? He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world," right? By the way, that's why your pastor does not fly. He said, "Lo, I'm with you." He didn't say, "I'm with you up there miles up in the air," right? He says, "Lo, I'm with you," right? And right, Brother Frank? Okay. I see I broke you, brother. But Jesus, you know, I told you last week, Jesus obtained our eternal salvation on the cross. He interceded for us on the cross, right, as our substitute. And right now, he's at the right hand of the Father, maintaining our eternal security right at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. And we have nothing to be afraid of, right? If we were to die, it's in God's will, and we go to heaven, right? If you know the Lord. And it's hard for us to accept that. And it's hard for me to accept some things. As I began to look more at Fox News, I mean, if I'm going to watch the news, I'm going to watch Fox News. And in fact, I don't even think you're going to heaven if you watch the rest of them, you know? But y'all know I'm joking about that. You on live stream, are they making any comments yet? All right. We may have to delete those comments, right? But I do understand, I don't know how you can be for abortion and homosexuality and call yourself a Christian, right? Yeah, I will stand on that, right? And because it's contrary to what the Bible says. But he will never leave us, never alone. You may think you're in that ER room all by yourself, your family can't come in to see you, but you have Christ, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you have him interceding for you at the right hand of the Father, right? So Jesus is sovereign over you. Jesus is interceding for you. How else can we have faith in the face of fear? Well, number three, Jesus is present with you. Look in verse 25 and 27 again. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. You can imagine what the disciples were thinking about this time. Didn't he tell us to go to the other side? Where is he at, right? And he went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. You think so? They were troubled. The Bible says, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a spirit?" In other words, is it a ghost? Now, the Bible here is not condoning the fact that there are ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts. There is no ghost. When you die, your spirit goes to heaven. Unbeliever, their spirit goes to Hades awaiting the resurrection, right? Your loved ones don't come back and haunt you, right? We use that on our spouses sometimes. I won't come back and haunt you, you know, and things like that. And it's a spirit that cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. So when Jesus came out to the disciples walking on water, they were frightened, thinking he was a ghost. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. That word cheer there, in the King James, in the original language, it says, take heart. Have courage, right? He said, it is I. Be not afraid. It is I. That's the same thing as Jesus saying in John, I am. I am. You remember in Exodus 3:14 when he talked to Moses, he said, I am. You know, I am the great I am. And, you know, that those some powerful words in the Bible. I am. That lets us know that he was before and he's after, right? He was before Abraham. I am, right? And it lets us know here that Jesus is using this moment, okay? He uses this moment to give a greater revelation of himself to his disciples. And so he does that in the storms of life. When you have the storms of life come into your life, God is trying to give you a deeper understanding of who he is, his character, and his nature. And when you go through a storm and you don't reflect on God and his word, you have messed up the trial that God sent in your life, right? God wants to reveal to you more about who he is, right? And, you know, in the past, I run across people all the time that they testify about this. You know, said, you've seen them when they go into a hard time and a trial, and they say afterwards, you know, I was never closer to the Lord than when I was in that trial. You know, I felt his presence in a mighty way, right? Because why? We're depending upon him. It drives us to the Bible. It drives us to see who he is, what he has done, what he is doing, what he will do. You know, he wants to show himself to us, and so that we can trust him. So what does that mean? God sovereignly ordained trials in our lives at various times in order to reveal his character and his nature. Apart from the storm. Everything all right, Charlie? Okay. Oh, okay. Tell him they're a little late. But it's in the middle of the storm that his presence of Christ becomes more real. Do you know you could feel his presence more when you're in a storm than when it's sun shining, right? Right? I mean, this is deep stuff. We don't understand it because we're thinking in the spiritual and the flesh. We're thinking in the fleshly and the natural, right? But God wants to show himself to us, and he does that in the storm. So in the middle of the storm, the presence of Christ becomes more real to us, right? And then number four, Jesus is strength in you. Look in verse 28 through 31. The Bible says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. You know, Peter, you got to give Peter credit. He knew better than to just step out, right, without the Lord bidding him to come. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, whereof didst thou doubt? So here we see in verse 28 that when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he decided he wanted to be with the Lord, right? That's Peter, right? It wasn't like Peter said, man, I want to walk on water too, you know. Read the text. He wanted to be with the Lord, right? And he wanted to join him. So he decided to be with the Lord. We're in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 through 31. If it be thou, can be translated as, since it's you, command me to come to you on the water. You know, there was many times Peter didn't wait for the Lord's command. He just acted impromptu, right? Took off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest, right? Impromptu. What's another word for that? Impromptu. When I look at you, Wanda, you're supposed to, huh? Huh? Yeah, impulsive, right? Is that what you said? Yeah. But in verse 29, Peter trusted he could join Jesus on the water in light of the Lord's power, in light of his authority, in light of his. If Jesus is walking on the water and he invites me to come, then I can walk on water, right? Yeah. When we face trials, we not have strength, but Jesus does. And when we trust in him, you're experiencing strength in you, right? Someone, Paul in Corinthians, says it best, when I am weak, he is strong, right? We're going to get into that in just a second. In our weakness, he displays his power, right? And so Peter stepped out of the boat, verse 30. He walked on the water, but what happened to Peter? What happened to him? He was looking at the wind. He was looking at the waves, right? And he took his eyes off Jesus. Do you know that when you take your eyes off Jesus and put them on your problem, then you begin to sink, right? That's the principle right there. He took his eyes and he began to focus on the wind, the effects of the wind and the waves, right? He began to sink. I know I've been there. I'm a human. And I'll go ahead and admit it, okay? When one of my family goes whatever for a test or something, I mean, I always think the worst, right? Are y'all with me? And I always think the worst. I got it all planned out. If this happens, this is what I'm going to do. If this happens, this is what I'm going to do, right? And really, I'm not in control, right? It's up to the Lord, right? Just like I can do something about it, right? Boy, we are worrisome people, aren't we? And if you're here today and you don't worry about anything, I need to let I get a knife and stick you and see if you're bleeding, right? We all do that. But man, I already have it planned out. I go to the doctor, he says your blood work's out of whack, we're going hemoglobin something. I go home and make my funeral arrangements, right? You know? I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, y'all act so spiritual tonight. Y'all just like me, right? And you're probably thinking, what right do you have to get up there and preach to us? Because you call me as your pastor, all right? Okay. So I'm here telling you what the Word of God says, right? So he stepped out of the boat. Verse 31, Peter faced his fear with doubt, right? Instead of faith, he faced it with doubt. The opposite of fear is faith, right? The opposite of faith is doubt. When we don't trust God in our daily walk, we're walking by sight, not by faith, right? Verse 31, Peter faced his fear with doubt. And what did Jesus say there? Let's see, I'm trying to look for it. Yeah, verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Now, again, he's trying to increase his faith, right? But he took his eyes off Jesus, so Jesus says, O thou of little faith. Now, I want you all to hang on a minute. I'm going to go a little deeper with you here. We can't muster up or manufacture more faith, right? You can't just say, I'm going to grit my teeth, I'm going to grin and bear it, and I'm going to overcome this. That's not the way it works. What matters is the object of our faith, not the measure of our faith. When you take your eyes off the object of your faith, which is Jesus, then you have little faith and begin to doubt, right? There's nothing within us to cause us to say, well, I'm a strong person. I'm going to go through this. You watch out for that person. You don't want to be around them, right? You can't do it. It's not manufactured. It's not mustered up in your own self. It's by looking unto Jesus, right? He's stronger than we are. Peter took his eyes off the object of his faith, Jesus. That's why he began to sink. Number two, your faith is strong only when you have an object that is strong, right? Faith and faith, as the charismatics and the prosperity gospels preach, that you just got to have faith. What, faith in me giving you $1,000? What? No, you got to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't manufacture your own faith. If our faith is in people or circumstances, guess what? We're going to sink, right? Hebrews 12:2, one of my favorite passages. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. I mean, he's going to complete your salvation. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So instead of, when we're going through trials, instead of trying to manufacture and drum up faith in our own self and saying, I'm a strong individual, we need to trust in the one who is strong, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Amen? So Jesus is sovereign over you. Jesus is interceding for you. Jesus is present with you. Jesus is strengthening you. But lastly, verse 32 and 33, Jesus is peace in you. Look at verse 32 and 33. The Bible says, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen? See, you can't truly have peace until you look to the one who is peace, right? And he'll give you the peace that transcends all understanding. The wind immediately ceased, right? The winds, who is this man that the winds and the sea obey him? He's a sovereign creator of the universe, right? And there's nothing you can do. I mean, as I told you before, I went out on the Gulf one time with Jason, and I saw right away I didn't want to go out again, right? You know, any man that would go so fast and hit those waves and I lose my straw hat and my Diet Coke, I got mad, you know? And by the way, come to think of it, he never invited me to go out with him again. And I think he, the winds immediately ceased. And the waves calm, right? You see, do you see it? When you put your eyes on Jesus and take them off your circumstances, you'll have peace, right? No matter what. Even if you get a bad diagnosis, you'll have peace. I remember how Adrian Rogers died. Laying on his deathbed, he says, I'm at perfect peace, right? There was a preacher y'all mentioned the other day that said the same thing, right? I'm at perfect peace, right? So Jesus got into the boat, and the only one who could bring peace is in the midst of the storm with him, and he's in the boat, right? Amen. I don't know about you, but this message was just for me. If you got some overflow of it, then that's just happened that way. Did you get an overflow of this message? Anybody? Right? Faith in the face of fear. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care what laws they pass or don't pass, our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? As someone said, our faith is not in the White House, it's in the Father's house, right? And I feel sorry for those that are going through life and they don't have their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way. None of this makes sense to them, but it makes sense to us because we know prophecy, we know where we're going, we know it's why it's happening this way. We know why, you know, you can't kill babies, you can't license homosexuality, marriage, and you can't do all this and expect have the blessing of God, right? Amen. And so this message really touched me. We're going to give you a chance to respond tonight, maybe come to the altar, say, Lord, I want to put my eyes back on you. I want to take them off of the wind, off of the storm, and I want to put them back onto you because you and you alone, even if we're not healed, even if something happens in our life, we still have peace, right? And that's what he's saying. Brother Marcus, as our musicians come, we want to give you an opportunity.